Well, welcome to session four of Condition of the Heart. And I pray you've been really blessed, encouraged, challenged in these sessions. And again, just to encourage you to, when God's dealing with something in my life, I stay with it for a little while. I don't rush on to the next thing. I allow God to speak and build upon. And so do play these through a couple of times and just be sitting down and just asking the Lord to speak into your heart through his word, through the things that are being shared. And the Holy Spirit will enlighten different aspects to you and help you grow in your walk with God. Now, really, I think what the Lord's doing overall in these sessions is just reminding us of the importance of not just loving his grace, his mercy. You know, his word comes to us in different ways. It comes as a lamp to our feet, doesn't it? It comes as honey, scripture says. It comes in different ways into our lives. But it also comes as correction. It comes as discipline sometimes. And so we mustn't shut ourselves down to the aspects that we may not like so much. It's those very aspects that help us grow closer to the Lord. And I'm going to read from Matthew 13 today. And verse 3, it says, and this story really is about the different types of heart we can have. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell on thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And if you then move on to 13:12, it says, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they do have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. If you actually read some study versions of the Bible, it's like, well, what does that verse 12 mean? Whoever has will be given more. And in the one that I have, it says this phrase means that we're responsible to use well what we have, what God's placed in us. When people reject Jesus, their hardness of heart drives away or renders useless even the little understanding they had. Again, that emphasises again what we're trying to get at here, how serious it is that we must take the word of God seriously. Let's have a look at when Jesus then goes on to explain what this parable means. It says in 13:18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke this word and makes it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You know, Sir Cliff Richard now wrote a song. Oh, sorry, I don't know if he wrote it, but he certainly sang it. Don't dance with the devil, he'll make a fool out of you. In scripture, there's the verse that says, I'm fairly sure Joshua said it to the people, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. The scripture says we're in the world, but not of the world. The problem that happens in time is we become a little bit worldly and a little bit heavenly, and it doesn't work. Or you can get away with it in some ways. I mean, ultimately on the judgment day, I'm not sure how much anyone would get away with that. But you can seem like you're getting away with it. But God wants us to realise that we're to be wholehearted and not a mixture. You know, I am The scripture says, I have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. It says, I'm in the world, but not of the world. You know, us Christians, there should be something very different, very clear, something in our lives that God has worked, that we are his and we are for him. There's nothing watered down about our faith. People should be able to see Christ in us, in our example, in our deed, but in the way we live. And what the enemy wants to do is to kind of soften that and bring it down to something which has no power. Well, we go to church, we say a few prayers, we have a Bible, but we've lost the power. We're not flowing in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're not close to God. We're not sensitive to the convicting work of the Spirit. And this scripture describes some of those different hearts that can easily... how we can easily move, how our hearts can have certain things. And the paths and seeds and rocks and all sorts of things can come in, weeds and rocks can come into our lives through things that God fully understands and is very compassionate about. For instance, if you've been hurt a lot, if you've been abused, you could build a kind of path in your heart that's never going to trust anybody again, is always going to be suspicious. And God understands the pain that you went through. Maybe you've had some bad experiences in different ways that's produced some rocks or whatever. Maybe life's become so pressured in your life that you're so concerned about money and just living and so surviving that when God's word comes in, faith is just choked. And, you know, God understands that, but we don't have to stay in that. We're to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, all our strength, all our mind. Lean not on our own understanding, the scripture says, and he'll make our path straight. But let's just have a look for a moment at some of those paths. He said, it was scattered the seed. Some fell on the path and the birds came up and ate it up. Now, the seed is God's word. The seed is God's word. Now, I can preach a sermon in church and there can be however many people in there. But each of those people will have different hearts. Some will have soft hearts. And because they're soft and it's good soil, they'll receive the word and that word will produce a crop. But some people, for whatever reason, sometimes it's just outright, I'm not going to listen to this. And I'm like, well, I don't even know why you're here then. But there can be, reasons why some people don't want to listen. Maybe they're wrestling with God on some stuff. Maybe they've been hurt and there's reasons like that. But the point is, what God's saying is, when I speak my word, however that pathway got there, is not going to penetrate through the tarmac and it's going to be robbed from you and it'll do you no good. So God wants us to deal with any pathways in our life, however they've come through hurt, pain, disappointment, discouragement, through just outright having a bad attitude, and you need to really sort yourself out with God. It can be all sorts of things, but he's the compassionate God. He's the gracious God. And we need to reach out of our pain and suffering sometimes and believe God's word even more than our pain and suffering. Your pain and suffering will not help you go forward in God's purposes, but God's healing grace and love and power and compassion and comfort can set you free from whatever you've been through. And again, if you're not in a church, and you know, we can ever help you at all, do get in touch and on our Get in Touch section on our website, and we'll do all we can to stand with you and pray and believe God to help you come into this freedom. So let's just think about that for a minute. If there's any, when the word of God comes forth, even if you've hardened your heart, sometimes it's in obedience to God's word. God's challenged you with something before and you've just ignored him every time. You just won't listen and do what he says. Well, the fruit of that, or the lack of fruit of that, will be that you will not be able to receive God onto a heart that's hard, and it just won't produce anything in your life. The birds come quickly and eat it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It's kind of a bit of church, a bit of prayer, a bit of this, and you got excited by it. Yeah, we'll do that. And and it springs up quickly. This is what God said to me. I'm so excited. This is great. But when the sun comes up, when the pressure comes on, it gets scorched and withered because it has no root. You and I need to be rooted in good churches. We need to be rooted in fellowship. We need to be rooted that even when the times are tough, we're prepared to work things through so that we grow up in God. I mean, anyone can run away. Anyone can isolate. It doesn't take courage to do that in terms of church life. There are some things we do need to run away from, like sin and abuse and stuff that is just not good. And we need to run to those who can help us and help us grow. But of course, churches are supposed to be places where people run to and not run from. Hallelujah. And if we all remember we are the church, the church is what partly, well, we all have responsibility to make churches what they should be. Another subject for another day, maybe. But rocky places means there's things in that heart that shouldn't be there. There's less soil than there should be. Rocky places may be areas of sin, areas where we haven't yielded to God. And even though, you know, we kind of, it's a sort of place where you repent because you want to be right with God, but you have no intention of changing, which isn't really repentance at all, because repentance means turning around and going in the other direction. But you hear what I'm saying. We want to be at peace with God. We get forgiven. But there's still stuff that God wants to, those rocks he wants to remove, so that our hearts can, the seed of God's word that goes in takes root. Hallelujah. And the when the heat comes, we don't, that word of God doesn't wither in our lives. What we've known hasn't withered in our lives. You know, maybe you've had disappointment, hurt or pain, but can I just say to you today, you can come back to Jesus. It wasn't him who hurt you. It wasn't him who disappointed you. Maybe actually you got hurt and disappointed just because of your own attitude. Maybe you didn't. It can be anything. That's between you and God. But what I do know is that God wants each of us rooted into a good church where we can grow, be discipled, be held accountable, worship, praise, live by God's word, disciple, encourage one another, and move in God's plans and purposes. But this person that had no root and all the rocks withered when pressure came. And then another seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And those seeds that that choked the plants, if you go on into 13, 18, 18:22 says, a seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears a word. They want it really, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word and make it unfruitful. In other words, there's so much else going on in their life, so many other things, that God's choked out somehow. Well, God wants to be first. You know, if you seek first the kingdom of God, if I seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added to me. You know, I'm a busy person. I'm sure you're a busy person. And sometimes there's just heaps of stuff to do. But I know if I don't put God first in the day and spend time in prayer, and I have two specific prayer times in the day, even though we're told to pray specifically, which to me means I'm sensitive to the Spirit all day. But sometimes it seems to me the most inconvenient thing to do is to go and spend time with God because I've got so much to do. But of course, that's deception. The time I spend with God, from that, everything else flows. How can I have God flowing through every part of my life if I never spend any time with him? And it's interesting. What I find is when I do that, everything else just has more of God's order in it. He multiplies the time back to me, but the wisdom and discernment, the way I talk to people, the way I make decisions, is all coming out of what God's been saying to me through the time I've had with him. How can I reflect Jesus? How can I be anxious for nothing if I'm never spend time with the one who takes that anxiety? So to keep your heart soft is actually very simple. Is spending time with God, is spending time in his presence, is agreeing with his word and moving in agreement with what he says to us. There's if you're worrying, when the Bible says, do not worry about your life, you know, there's plenty in all of our lives that could cause us to worry. But if the Bible says, do not worry, Jesus must have a reason for saying that. And he must have an equipping and an enabling for us to walk free from that worry. So again, if you're so busy and you're so much in a hurry that God's just not getting any time, you can pretty much reckon the priorities are wrong. In fact, you can definitely reckon that because the word of God tells us so. Well, again, God doesn't condemn us, but he's just saying that's not the best I have for you. And you're trying to work and carry and strive when my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. I want to show you how to be the best at work. I want to show you how to deal with this particular situation that's been stressful to you. I want to give you wisdom and insight into your heart. Amen. So again, the whole point of this is God wants to do some heart surgery on us between now and the next session. And he wants to shine his light into our hearts and begin to deal with stuff where he's not in the middle, to repent maybe of areas of our hearts where we've just basically said no to God. We'd never really put it like that, but we're just not acting in obedience to his word. And then if you do that, you start to make a God in your own image, because to the degree we're not in agreement with what the scripture is telling us to do and how Jesus tells us to live, is to the degree that we're actually saying, well, God, you can have this bit of my life, but not that part. And, you know, I surrender all, as the hymn says. There's a lovely song we used to sing, a powerful song. I'll say yes, oh yes, to your will and to your way. And it says something like, when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Is your answer to the Lord today yes to what he's speaking through his word? You don't need to go looking for it. It can be a particular area of your life. It can be the way you're treating someone. It could be God's asking you to do something in your church or to serve in your neighborhood in some way, and you're just not prepared to do it. It could be to do with giving. Of course, giving's always another big one, isn't it, of our test of our faith in God when he tells us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Is his way of providing for church in the storehouse, but that's not the thing. It exposes our hearts, that and giving time to people when God shows you to, just being led by the Spirit. So these are really all issues of the heart. And don't forget, just because God highlights something doesn't mean you've got a bad heart. Maybe you have got a hardened heart or a rocky heart or a pathway heart. But when God shows, how you can tell the condition of your heart is how you do or don't respond to him. So that's a good health checker, isn't it? So I think there's going to be one more session on this subject afterwards, because this isn't just about me standing and speaking for 15, 20 minutes and you saying, oh, well, yeah, great or not great, or don't think much of that or love that. It's what you do with it that counts. The Bible says we're to be not just hearers of the word. James says this, I think, but doers of the word. Amen. And so I just very practically want to encourage you, listen to a particular session. Something might jump out. Ask the Lord why it's jumped out. Write it down. Spend some time in prayer. You know, it says in scripture, I meditate on your word day and night. You can just buzz past this and it'll be as though you've never listened to it. And then you'll be back to Coronation Street or whatever else. And the word will just not have done anything. But you can grow in God and you can move on with God if you choose to do so, which is why our attitude to the word of God. I think there's a teaching on here to do with faith. And if my memory serves me right, I've spoken on it sometime recently. Our attitude to the word of God. Oh, no, it's in Marriage One, the marriage video session one. Our attitude to the word of God is absolutely crucial. So again, if you're casual to the word of God, this will do nothing for you. The word of God doesn't mean much to you. Even if that's the case, you don't need to worry, because if you want the word of God to mean a lot to you, you just have to pray and say, God, in my own heart, I'm just indifferent. It doesn't mean much. So Holy Spirit, would you come and work in me so my attitude to your word is different? Isn't God gracious? You know, sometimes when I pray, I say, God, I really want to know you in your glory and holiness. And he says, really? And then I'm like, well, actually, I probably don't too much if I really realise what that's going to cost. But Father God, I know I need to. So would you work that in my heart? So it's a genuine cry from my heart. Well, praise the Lord. There's a lot of content there. And there's a lot you can take and do a lot with. Please don't park it in the garage, because your destiny in God is determined by your attitude to his word. We saw in that scripture we read the other day, didn't we? It says that in Proverbs, it's on my piece of paper here somewhere, 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What we allow God to do in our hearts, how yielded we are to him, is key to how we go forward with the rest of our lives. A great man of God used to teach me, he said, you're only as anointed as you are submitted. What does that mean? It means God's, if I don't just want to be a church attender, but I want God's power to flow through me, I want to see change come through my life, and I want to see people's lives change, I have to be submitted to the workings of God in my life so that there's less of me and more of him. I hope that's an encouragement to you. God bless you. God keep you, and God make his face to shine upon you. Hallelujah. Amen.